Well, once again, good morning. And before we get started, why don't we pray? And if you were here last week, we did something a little bit different, and like to do that again. And do we need? I don't want to put you in this front row, guys. Are enough chairs back here? Should we set one out? You're good. But we did last week. I had a minute or two where I just gave couples an opportunity to pray with each other, silently or whispering, and then I would close in about 2 or 3 minutes. And I kind of like to do that again. And I suggested last week, we talked the first week we were here about obviously praying for your kiddos, but maybe even more or grandkiddos. We got some grandparents with us today, and I'm actually going to share some of their wisdom with you here in a little bit. So, but pray for your kids or your grandkids. Pray for their spiritual health, their salvation. And then I also suggested praying for their future spouse. And I want to, let's do that. And if you just want to pray silently to yourself or with your spouse, whisper. If that's a little awkward, we'll be with you here in just a second. I know it might be as well. Tracy, you want to? Yeah, they got room. And so let's pray. I'll let you pray here. They hear your name, Lord. They hear your name. And let all magda, Lord, with moms and dads. And bring, Lord, just bring you. Well, Lord, thank you for the morning. It was good hearing your word already this morning in first service about your goodness, Lord. And sometimes we forget that. And Lord, how can we do that, Lord? You're so good. Mostly you're so good that you would send your son to rescue us from ourselves, Lord, and our sin. Lord, we ask right now that you do that with our kids, that you do that with our grandkids, Lord. Lord, that they would come to hear the name of Jesus on a regular basis in their home, and that that name would stand above all names, Lord, and they would come to know you as their Jesus. So help us in this today, Lord, and even as we talk about formal or informal devo time, worship time, whatever you would call it, Lord, help us, find us to pour into our own kids and grandkids, Lord, faithfully. And but again, we need your help. That's why we're praying right now. So teach us, Lord. Teach us. Help us, Lord. We ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Well, yeah. Yeah, come on in, guys and gals. Some may have to sit on the front row. They kind of rearranged us this week. Come on in, folks. We can set some other chairs here, too. Yeah. May have to yank on that a little bit. If you were with us last week, and guys, if you want to grab one of those handouts on the right there. Last week, we kind of finished talking about, and we'll get into more of this here in the next few weeks. But we talked about, are we owners or are we ambassadors? And if you were here last week, we talked a little bit more about, obviously, a definition of how you might qualify those things. And but are we owners of our children or are we ambassadors to our children? And some of the different mindset with that. And the idea that, man, it goes back and forth, and it's a battle of the heart we talked about last week. By the way, if there are lesson one, lesson two, and another stack back there if you'd want to pick one of those up on the way. Or you can, if you missed, you can listen online too. But anyway, I thought we might have time to read this last week. But I don't know if you found yourself in this scenario this past week. I mean, how'd you do last week with ambassador and ownership? You find yourself some of both? Or were you maybe in regards to this scenario? You just sat down 15 minutes ago after giving your 5 times a day lecture on loving your neighbor and are feeling momentarily good about how it went. But now you're back in the family room with your iPad. Before you have a chance to hit the button for your favorite magazine app, you hear angry voices floating down the hallway from the very room you were just in. You can't believe it. You're tired and it feels personal. You want to throw your iPad through the window, but you know doing so would break both. You wish the insanity would stop so you could enjoy just one sane personal moment. You don't regret that you have children, but at this point you kind of wish they weren't your children. You're angry and you're about to lose your mind, forgetting who you are and what you've been called to do. Emotion is propelling you down the hallway, and that emotion is not love. An agenda is motivating you, and that agenda is not grace. You are in the room and yelling before you even realize you left your family room chair. You're talking, but you're not thinking. You're reacting, but what you're doing is not parenting. You're betting out a catalog of punishments which you're later going to have to enforce. You threaten worse if you have to come down that hallway again. You leave the room mumbling something about how you would never thought of acting that way when you were their age. You throw yourself into the chair, grab your iPad, and open up the app, but you're not paying attention because your emotions are raging. What do I have to do to get them to listen, to get them to obey just once? You ask yourself as your emotions calm. You feel a bit guilty, and because you do, you try to convince yourself that your kids deserved it. And then Paul Tripp says this, who of us hasn't been there? Paul Tripp's been there? Well, I know none of you were there last week, maybe the week before, but not with that emotion, I'm sure. But anyway, grandparents, I know you've never... You got to go way back to figure that one out. But anyway, it is a battle of the heart. We'll get into some of that even more the next few weeks. By the way, Mr. Rassi is going to be teaching next week, and he'll start getting into, I think it is discipline next week. Am I right, Mike? Yeah. So, and getting some of the nuts and bolts of this ambassadorship, that we are called to be ambassadors. But today, as you can see, what I want to do is I want to spend just a little bit of time, as we've talked about ministry of the family the last few weeks. We're going to get into the rest of this class, how you minister to your family. And so today we're going to talk about family worship, formal and informal. I would probably prefer calling it planned or unplanned or partially planned. We'll divide it in those categories. I don't know if you, but has anybody done any formal family devo time at this point, doing some of that? Yeah. And so, yeah, that's what we're talking about. And here, the second half, we're going to have a couple of veterans, older folks, not old folks, older folks that have been through this. And hear a little bit from them about how they poured into their kids. And so with that, you've got some scripture in front of you. And if you want to read in your Bible, here's what I'd like you to do, okay? For just a few minutes, I'd like you to read Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9. I'd like you to read it on your own. And the reason I put it down there, if you've got a pen or pencil, or whatever you might have, mark it up. I don't know if you've got a Bible you like to mark up or if you want to mark it up here. But as you do, keep parenting to the top of your mind. And what in the world does this have to do with parenting? What are some things there that God brings to your mind regarding parenting? There's a lot there. And there's a lot there, but specifically, what sticks out to you as you read Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9? So I'm just going to let you read it on your own for just a minute or so, and then we'll read it together, and then we're going to talk about it just a little bit. And it's going to kind of lead us into what we have before us today. So just give you a minute or so to read. I know you Cup fans may need a little more than that. Oh, Daniel just left, didn't he? Now let me read it again out loud. Have you heard of Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9? You've read that before, haven't you? A lot of you have. Now this is a commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. This is Moses speaking. That you may do them in the land to which you are going over to, that'd be the promised land, to possess it. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son. By keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. And then what is commonly often called the Shema, which means hear, we hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So, time to hear from you. What do you hear or see there that specifically stood out to you? We'll just put a list. If you want to write a list on the bottom here, that's fine too. What are you seeing that really stuck out at you? Parents, what do you see? Relative to parenting. Anybody want to get things started here?
We're teaching all the time.
We're teaching all the time, aren't we? Yeah. Teaching all the time. We talked a little bit last week about those opportunities. Yeah. You're talking about sitting, walking, lying down, rising up. On your hand, between your eyes, doorpost, gates. There's not much left there. I don't know what else we do besides those things. It's good. It's good. What else do you see? Thing else that stuck out to you before we got into the Shema, actually. Parents?
Through all of those times, the message is consistent. You teach them the same thing.
Yeah. And the main part of that same thing is
love the Lord.
Yeah. And in the New Testament, Jesus says the same thing, doesn't he? In the greatest commandment and so forth. That's good. It's good. What else? Anything else stick at you? Paul?
That's generational.
Yeah.
Your son and your son's son.
That really hit me. This is generational. Some of us have sons that have sons. And I just prayed for mine. And daughters, granddaughters and grandson. Yeah. That's great. That's great.
You know, I think in the first one there, Scott, I thought that was kind of interesting that you may do them in the land to which you are going over. And when I read that, I think about, you know, whether it's us as parents or our children, okay, we live in a mobile society, a mobile culture that's always moving. And when I read that, I think about to where you are going. Live the life that you, in Christ, to where you are going.
Yeah.
You know, some of us in this room have children that are involved in ministry in another part of the country, in the other part of the world. You know, and so we teach them what to do in the other, where they are going.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to imagine this little one right here may not be in the room next to you all your life, but it'll probably happen. It'll probably happen. And they may be all over the place, as we have talked about and so forth. But the love the Lord, these are anything as well as any time, but any place that they would go. And the Lord would be with them, would go with them. And that he would love the Lord, whether they're in Champagne or wherever. It's good. It's good. Yeah. We're going to look a little, in just a few minutes, a little bit more about the sitting down and so forth. But let me get into, as I want to get these folks up here to have them talk with you. Let's go through this. Let's talk about the formal or planned time to start with. And we'll look at some of the things that you've talked about and some great points there, some key points. And but are we commanded to have formal worship time? Look at this with me, if you would. Verse 2 calls us to fear the Lord, you, your son, and your son's son, as we just talked about. Verse 5 calls us to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and might. Verse 6 says his words shall be on our hearts. That sounds like worship to me. Verse 7, call us to teach them diligently to our children. And so with that that word teach there, and NIV is impress them, I would think that in just talking and reading that we are not commanded to have a formal worship time, but it is highly suggested. It is, as one author said, it is wise. And some of you know the name Don Whitney from Southern Baptist Seminary. It's a great book out here on praying the Psalms. This one must be good too. I haven't read it, but our authors are quoting Don Whitney in a number of ways. He says, bringing up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord is not accomplished unintentionally and incidentally. Consistent father-led family worship is one of the best, steadiest, and most measurable ways to bring up children in the Lord's discipline and instruction. Consider it, if you would. Please consider it as we look at this a little bit. So what should that look like? And we'll get into a lot of details. And quite frankly, if you're not doing stuff, just consider this, all right? And I asked Teresa a little bit about what we did last night, and she said, I don't remember that a whole lot. But she said, I think the biggest admonition is do something. Is that what you said, I think? And I know we had some Sunday night stuff for quite a long time. And but how about these points? About some Bible reading. Ought to have some Bible reading, right? There's age-appropriate stuff, and you'll find on your back page there's some resources that I've got for you, suggested by our pastors, as well as by share and carry that might be of help. Actually, this is one of them. But consider that. But don't underestimate your children's ability to understand. But when you do this, start with some prayer. Hopefully we do that when we read our Bibles. Instill the idea that we need God's help to understand His Word. And then read enthusiastically. It is alive and active. And we need to read it as if it's alive and active. All right? And then ask a lot of questions. And as you ask a lot of questions, I think you're probably also going to see that some of the formal time bleeds over into the informal time. They may have questions now, but they may have questions as you're walking on the way and in some of these other times. But questions are so good. Is that not how Jesus taught, huh? Prayer time ought to be part of that. Don't underestimate the value of your prayers in imparting faith. Kids will pick up on your expressions to the Lord. They'll pick up on how much you love them. And they'll start understanding, this must be a pretty good Jesus, the way I hear mom and dad speak to him about him and so forth. But with that, pray using the passage. If you've never done that, Whitney's got a book out here, praying over the Psalms. It's a great, praying the Word is a good way to pray. Acts is a great guide that I'm sure many of you use already. I would strongly suggest, again, A, for adoration. They see you adoring your Jesus. Caught more than taught type stuff. Confession. Wow. They hang around this place long enough, they're going to hear about confession, but to see it by mom and dad, okay, I think even more powerful. That's not easy. All right? Some of us haven't sinned in a couple months. Well, you know better than that. So they need to hear us confess it. It's how they learn to confess. Thanksgiving is pretty obviously in supplication, even helping kids to pray for the spiritual and physical needs of the family, the church, people in the church and the world. It's all good stuff. But teaching them how to pray, I think, is huge. And then, I don't know where this catches you. I know we've got some musicians in the house here. Probably most of us are not musicians. I tried playing the guitar with my oldest son. Didn't work out so well. I wish I could have. I would love to have that time. That'd be one of those walking in the ways time. But man, oh man, two hands together. I had to apologize to him. But there's other ways though, isn't there? And we got all kinds of ways to sing God's word. Songs they hear at church or on the radio, playlists, those kinds of things. But I just think, and they have suggested too, that a lot of times finishing devotion time with some song relative to the passage is a great way to do that. And I'm guessing there's some songs I know we used to sing songs we'd hear at Awana on a regular basis. And some of those still come back to mind from time to time. But anyway, just consider that. And then an article from Gospel Coalition suggested these things. When's the best time for you? It may be different for me than what it is for you. And they strongly suggest the same time and place that becomes routine. Start slow, particularly if you haven't done this. Just start slow. And they talk about brevity, 15 to 20 minutes. You may want to go longer than that, depending on what you're doing. But I think the big things we just talked about a few minutes ago is just making it a priority. And moms and dads come with the right attitudes. We've got another Devo time. We get to do this. And it's an opportunity to pour into our kids. I think, I haven't looked today, but I think at the end of, or the back of our worship folder, we've got some kid type questions relative to the sermon. That's a good start for those kinds of things. But anyway, just some things, and but I would, if you were prioritize one of those things, make it the word priority. And so then, what might informal, unplanned, semi-planned, I might call, teaching look like? And let's look at verse 7 to 9 again. And if you want to flip back over there, I'm not even sure if it's a flip for you guys, but let's look at this a little bit. I want you to consider with me just some practical ways that you might consider as far as sitting. Here's the... How might that look like in your day-to-day routine? Thoughts? When do you sit as a family?
Sharing dinner together.
Sharing a...
Dinner.
Dinner, yeah. Yeah. The dinner table is a great place.
You were driving in your car?
Driving. I was actually going to put that in the walking, but you better get that down. Because they're sitting, hopefully they're sitting, not driving. Dinner table, you know, in the front room. TV doesn't have to always be on. Yeah. But, man, you get a chance, family, to sit down. Maybe they're sitting in their bedroom and you go and have a little time with them. But, yeah.
Now there was a Scott with that part there that says, and so talk to them when you sit in your house. I'm an early riser, and our son Jonathan was an early riser. And I've heard him tell me this a number of times, he would come down the basement looking for me in the morning, and he would see me sitting reading my Bible. And he would tell me, he's told me many times, that what Willie has spoken about, you know, Karen and I being faithful to God, walking with God, and that's one of the things he picked up early in his life.
He saw you spending time in the Word of God, yeah.
You know, it's one of those times, Scott, I thought, well, that's, I'm just reading my Bible in the morning. I don't end up thinking anything about it. He come downstairs and start talking to me. It's like.
Yeah. Kaylee shared something with us very similar that I've never even thought about. My question to her was, well, you weren't up that early, but but for them to see you, yeah, it's good. It's good.
Even, I mean, we had the opportunity to hear him. He's an associate pastor at the Vineyard Church in Champaign, and we had the opportunity to be down there Father's Day because he was speaking that day. And he shared that day about, you know, as his father, he saw me study the Word.
Do our kids see us in God's Word? Somewhere besides this building. And I think that's good. Walking, you can drive, you can go for walks. I like to add time shooting baskets in our backyard or playing catch, and but that's as you're walking along the way. Lying down, what do you have there, guys? Most obvious would be, not when you're lying down, but when they're lying down, bedtime. And we talked here a couple weeks ago about how tired we can be. And I probably, like a lot of you, I would fall asleep in bed before they would fall asleep in bed. But nap time, our little Nora, I'm guessing she was like that last week too. She'd want, you know, if her mom put her down or Teresa put her down. And I want Papa to come in and pray with me too. And then she was asking for a cat to come in and pray with. Well, she didn't obviously want to take that nap. And but anyway, some great times when they're and you are slowing down a little bit. We got get up. Just as Mark said, morning time. That could be breakfast too. I don't know what your breakfast looks like. It might be extremely quick and out the door, or you may be out before there is real breakfast, but maybe Saturday morning's a little different, Saturday, Sunday. Filling them with God's word before they head out or before you get busy. What about this hand and the frontlets? I understand that to be on your forehead. What might that look like today? I don't see anything unusual on your foreheads today, but something similar? Thoughts on that?
I think it's kind of stressing, not just talking about it, but memorizing it.
Yeah,
really,
it's good.
Absorbing it.
You can just, yeah. We'll talk about a point here later that I can't remember the author that said, be like a sponge, and it just flows out of you. Yeah. I like the idea of this. Some of you are Cardinal fans, and you heard Ricky Horton, maybe a time or two, the announcer for the Cardinals. Where's his FCA deal? Not just so I've got, but just have that before me, and just have things like that before you. Some of you may have a necklace or a bracelet, we talk about focal points, talk more about that in just a second, but just those reminders.
Talk about that, whether we have a necklace or something to remind us.
Mm-hmm.
I had the opportunity to interview for my radio program a man recently that was attacked by a bear in the Northwest Territory of Canada. And he says that knowing that Christ saved him on that mountain in Northwest Territory, he said, I purposely went and got a picture and laminated of a bear on one side of it, and the other side I have a picture of Jesus. And I carry it in my pocket all the time because it's a reminder of Christ saving me, not only eternally, salvation-wise, but saving
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a friend that was retired now, worked construction, was a foreman, and after he got saved would carry a nail in his pocket, and just some of the folks that he worked with, continue to work with, were very ungodly in their ways and so forth, reminded him, but some reminders. I don't know, even the doorpost and gate, I don't know what that might look like in your homes as reminders. Anything on your walls, framed reminders, scripture, or put something up? I don't know, lawn ornaments outside that remind us when we're outside that this is...
I think it's Ron Hutchcraft that says that he and his wife used to tell their kids when they walked out the door, anytime they walked out the door, go mad, go make a difference.
Make a difference. Yeah, it's a reminder that little, like that. A little hook in their minds. But, let's look at this a little bit and then we'll get you guys up here. What it might look like to talk of them. We just talked about some of this. But how about this? God's word is to be the subject, and I like the idea of having that hidden in our heart, and that we can speak to that. God has met you, we talked about this, so you would be ready to introduce His glory and grace to your children. Every day is filled with opportunity to point to God, so capture those opportunities, and we'll get in actually a whole lot of that in the weeks ahead, just those opportunities. But again, the reminders, and we just talked about that. With FCA, we talked to athletes about having focal points. When they go to a gym or a football field, you kind of see the goalpost and little perpendicular, the form of a cross, and the goalpost can remind you in a gym, go find a wall, put it on a wall that I think I found a pair of shoes here. Still hung on to one of our daughters that had some Bible verses on them. And she would have some fellow, you know, teammates that would holler verses at her in the middle of a game and vice versa. But just, and we just need reminder. We get so tied up. You know, the interesting part here, this is really it. We talked here the other day. When God made man, one of the first things he did was talk to him. Got God's word. We still need God's word, but it wasn't long before there were conflicting voices, right? In the garden. And things haven't changed much, have they? And so we need reminders. And we've spoken to somehow that might be. And then the last thing, we need to be together. We need to be together. And I don't know, you know, someone years ago, I think at this church, told me that love is spelled T-I-M-E. And how much time are we carving out for our kids to have some of these opportunities? And even having strategies. I don't know, probably talk as we go forward. Is the phone off at times? I talked about strategically having times of playing catch or shooting some hoops and sweet times, running, walking. I heard this years ago. Joel Stoll, former president of Moody Bible, said this. I hate board games, he said. I don't know if you play many board games. I mean, they've got board games for little ones as well, and got into some of those last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago. But Joel Stoll, I used to hate board games, but I know I needed to get on the floor with my kids and play board games. But isn't that what Jesus did? He came from heaven to earth to be with his children. And that was a great picture I haven't forgotten. And to get into their world in things that they like to do. It's pretty nice if you like to do them as well. But it's not always the case. And we'll talk more about some of those things, but to get into their world, including board games. Spiritual lessons from board games. It says in all things God works, right? But just some things. Lastly, in these words, I command you today shall be on your heart. We must have God's word so deeply impressed in our hearts. I think I shared this. You probably can't see this, but this was sent. My daughter shared this. I think I shared this the first lesson. The most important thing about parenting teens is not making sure they follow God. It's making sure you follow God. And she hit it right there. She hit it right. But we must have God's word so deeply impressed in our hearts, we can't help talk about it every chance we get. It just kind of flows. It's part of our life. And as Tripp says, we should be like sponges. When our children bump into us, they should get wet with God. So you should be a sponge, Bob. Well, anyway, we've got, I'm going to make a little room here. Mark and Karen, Steve and Lisa want to come up for a few minutes here. I've got some questions for them that I've given to them. And do you guys want to come on up and just have a stand or seat? And but I want you to share some of your experiences. And the first question I had for you is, did you do some kind of formal planned family worship Devo time? What'd that look like as far as time, place, ages, how old were your kids, resources, activities? You know, if you want to speak to that a little bit, you guys want to talk first, Steve? I'll let you talk here.
Well, yeah, we were a homeschool family, so we did have basically scheduled devotional times for the kids, and Lisa would do that throughout the day. And then as they got older and could read on their own, then we schedule the time for them to go mm-hmm. and do those things themselves. But otherwise, our devotions were basically what you were talking about earlier. We were sitting around the family dinner table, and we would do those then. And we just used a book that your parents had acquired when you were a kid, mm-hmm. and we used that same book, and it was a children's story Bible, basically, and then as they got older, we would adapt that, you know, we'd change up resources,
and, mm-hmm.
and you know, whatever, however that looked.
Make it age-appropriate yeah. type, yeah.
I would say that as you were talking earlier about memorization of scripture, somebody brought that up, I don't remember, but, and Scott, you said don't underestimate a child's ability to understand. I mean, one thing that struck me when we were raising kids and they were really young, I remember our kids sitting in a high chair, and Lisa, you would teach them Bible verses during the day when I was gone at work.
It was the catechism.
And we would come home, and then she would have them perform for dad. So, but I remember them reciting Bible verses, and I mean, you had to kind of, you know, listen closely because they weren't real good at speaking yet, you know, but you could hear scripture coming out of our kids. Now, they didn't understand it then, but as time went on, it was ingrained in their brains,
yeah.
and they had that there. So
that's good.
Memorization is a good thing. I would say if your kids are not in Awana, you should really do that. Our kids were in that program, and they memorize a lot of scripture because of that. Else you want to say about that?
No, I think we, like you said, I think as far as our formal devotions went, we really kind of handed it off to them as soon as they became proficient readers, thinking that for a lifetime they needed to learn how to study God's word and have devotions. We weren't trying to shirk our responsibility, but rather make it their own. Our girls all did come to salvation early. So we talked about how that should be a desire as a result of salvation. So we felt it necessary to kind of hand that off instead of making them kind of have a family devotion.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Mark, Karen, you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, we were talking about it too. It's like, what did we do? I mean, this is long. Our kids are 31 and 33 years old now. And it's like, what did we do? So I remember at the dinner table, we would sit there. We didn't have a specific book or anything like that, but we would talk about what they had learned at school. They went to Peoria Christian K through 12. They were in Awana's here, maybe third grade on. Sunday school, of course, we would talk about those kinds of things. So that was kind of the formal. But I just, and when you brought up this ownership ambassador, and I thought of the word steward, like God has given us our children as gifts, and we are to steward them well. And so I just think of it as discipleship. We are constantly discipling, and this teaching all the time. They're watching you, trust me. They're watching you, they're listening to you. And so I just, as far as the discipleship, it's like I tried to live out my faith and let them see it. Even when you're in the store or the bank or wherever, how am I treating that person? I love to call, I love when they have name tags, and I will say, hey Jen, how's your day going to a, you know, a clerk or whatever? And then I would tell the boys, that lady may never have gotten a smile except from you that day. We have the love of Jesus. We have to share that. So I would just throughout the day kind of try to live out showing them how I live out my faith.
Yeah.
So rather, I wouldn't call it, that's the informal side of it. And that, so that's kind of how I looked at that.
Well, like Karen said, our boys went here at Christian, and they had a spiritual life class several times a week, and they would come home with
a Bible verse or a theme for that week. And sometimes that's what we would use at the dinner table to kind of stimulate conversation and some spiritual things. But both our boys are adopted. And Jonathan, our older one at 33 now, I remember doing some pre-adoption counseling. And I remember the lady said, how are you going to handle discipline? And of course, you know, I didn't think about that. I'm disciplined. He's going to be perfect. Why would I need to discipline? But I remember she said, how are you going to bring God? And she was a Christian counselor. From a Christian, how are you going to bring God and life into that child? You know, and I thought, wow, I never thought of that. We were older when we got married. We were older when we had children, adopted children. And, you know, I mean, I remember the day we walked to the hospital to pick up Jonathan 3 or 4 days after he was born. You know, I was a little shocked because he's just got a hell out of hair. And I'm sure glad that Pastor Earl Cecil and his wife are with us that day from Grace Church in Morton, because but I just think that that moment that that counselor said to me, how are you going to pour God into his life? It really reminded me, yes, it's my responsibility. Yeah. As a parent, as one that loves, going to love him and raise him, it's my responsibility. And I like that. But I think what Karen said about just everything in the car, our son Joel played a lot of baseball. Our son Jonathan ran track and played soccer. And so, if being an athlete or being a parent of PCS, you have to do a lot of voluntary, a lot of driving. So I always spent that time with him. And, you know, both of we were blessed. Karen and I both came from Christian families. And my growth as in church was very traditional church. And I have to tell you this story because it reminded me of something that, we went to Grace Church at the time. And I can't remember, Jonathan was 4 or 5 years old. And Karen would give him a colored book and some markers. And it was the end of the service. They were singing the doxology. And we're all standing up. And I looked down. Here's Jonathan sitting down. And he's crying for some reason. And he's got these markers all over his face, running down his face. And I remember grabbing him so hard by his wrists. And as you know, we sit up in the front here. We sat up in the front there with our boys. I grabbed his arm, and I took him down that aisle. And about two-thirds down the aisle, if you know Jim Carey's from Morton, the Dairy Queen guy, he stepped out about the third or fourth row back from the back, and he put his hand on my chest. He said, I'll take him. I said, no, I got him, Jim. He goes, I'll take him. I said, no, Jim, I got him. He goes, Mark, go look in the mirror at your face right now. Jim took him into the bathroom, cleaned him up. And I saw him after we got out in the lobby. Jim comes up to me. He goes, Mark, if you could have seen your face, that kid was going to get killed. And, you know, it spoke to me about how gentle I needed to be. Because I can be a harsh person. How gentle I need to be with everyone, especially my children, if I'm going to speak in spiritual things into their life, you know. You know, God is gentle to us. I need to be gentle to our sons. So he didn't get killed. Like I said earlier, he's associate pastor of the Vineyard. And hopefully he doesn't remember that moment. Other than Jim Carrey is saving. But I just think the times with our kids that we spent. You know, I remember driving out to Miracle Camp up in Michigan for church camp for the week. It was just that five-hour drive was just important to us, you know, in those times. But I got to spend a couple weeks in England with our son Jonathan playing soccer one summer, and just a great time just to be with him in England for a number of days, you know, and stuff. So just those moments, you know. I'll end on this. Our son Jonathan, we do have a son Joel, but Jonathan seems to be talking about him. We recently did some things to our house in a bedroom that he lived in this whole time when he was at home. I came across some notebooks. And I took them out to Karen. I said, look at these little notebooks. And there's these little bitty notebooks. But opened them up and read the Bible verses. Read the Charles Stanley sermons that he listened to. Read the Adrian Rogers sermons that he listened to. I'm thinking, wow, you know, he was listening as we talked. He was listening, you know, maybe not to us, but he was listening. So, you know, anyway.
Steve, at least any informal, I know you talked to some about your formal, any other formal? Or maybe if you want to finish, maybe speak a little bit to this. How'd you pray for your kids? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you said something, you touched on this earlier, but I mean, we prayed for our kids before they were even born and, you know, prayed for them coming up. And we prayed for things such as their spouse and just, you know, whatever their needs would be, their upcoming needs or things that we needed to be able to raise them. And I think that, you know, if I were just to leave you with one thing, I would say that, you know, God has blessed you with your children. He has given them specifically to you. And so therefore you are equipped to teach them. Now it's just a matter of whether, you know, just like us too, you know, I mean, all of us, I mean, it's whether we're doing what we're supposed to be doing to teach them, but you are equipped to do that. And so don't let Satan talk you out of that. That's a lie. Just do as Proverbs 22:6 says, train them up in a way they should go, and be consistent with your discipline and have perseverance in Christ. And I don't know if you got anything else you want to add.
I mean, a thousand things, but yeah. I think one of the sentences, as we speak about generationally, I mean, it took me a long time. I would look at my kids walking down the road, and for a long time, it took me forever to go, oh, those are my children. Like, these aren't my mom and dad's children that they're raising. These are my children. And I don't know why I was so dim, and it took me so long to take ownership of that. But when I did, all of these, like, sentences of my mom's and my grandma's came flooding back. And one of them that I it was impressive to me. Maybe it won't be to anybody else in this room, but we make time for the things that are important to us. And that's true of everything. I don't ever skip eating. I don't ever skip working out. I mean, there are a thousand things that we don't skip. And I think that sentence was a really good one for me. It's not from the Bible. It's maybe a biblical principle, but we don't skip the things that are important to us. And that ran through my head over and over and over as I was raising my children. I don't skip devotions. I don't skip training. I don't skip because those things are important to me. So stay in the race. The trench feels deep today. But before you blink, it's over.
If you go back to Deuteronomy 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. I mean, it's basically all the time.
Yeah.
So, you need to figure out how you can do that all the time. It's not just when you feel like it or when you have all your other things done. I mean, you know, I know, man, we have to work, you know, to provide for our families, but that's not your life. Don't make your job your life.
Yeah. And I would add, do not minimize the power of prayer. Pray, 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 pray. Mm-hmm. Have everyone around you praying, your family, your life group. We have a very strong-willed child, and today he's pastoring at a church. So there's hope, people. There is hope for that strong-willed child. But seriously, and pray scripture. And there's a lot of resources out there. I was involved with Moms. It used to be Moms in Prayer. I think it's Moms know it was Monson Touch, now I think it's Monson Prayer. Mm-hmm. But they would have resources of Bible verses to pray for your children, and that is so powerful. And memorizing, yes, your children, but also I found for me, I found a passage in Proverbs 3 I memorized and claimed that over my children. So prayer, memorization for yourself, just pouring into your kids, and then having them see you in devotions, having them see you in prayer, but they're going to see then, okay, so then how is dad going to respond when I have markers all over my face? You have to be willing to go to your child and say, Mom is not perfect. I failed you, and ask them for forgiveness. Have them see, you know, yes, I'm not perfect. I am trying to follow Christ, and this is what it looks like. This is what forgiveness looks like. This is, they're looking at you as the example of how to live out your faith. And like I said, they're going to be watching, good or bad. And so, but the prayer to me is just a huge, I said, we've prayed them through life. They're still alive. They produced 4 grandchildren for us. So, yeah, we're very blessed. Yeah. And we're seeing the fruits of that. Music is a huge thing. I asked Jonathan and Joel one time a while back, what do you remember about growing up? They remember Christian music playing all the time in the car, at home. You guys probably don't know what cassettes are, but we had cassettes of Steve Green with his
the Donut Man,
all those cassettes and stuff. So they run for that, and that is instilled into them. And so it's like what goes in, and so that's huge.
We've got to shut it down here, but this is a great start to where we're going the next weeks, folks. The nuts and bolts of what it looks like day to day. But you talked about praying, Karen. Mark, would you pray us out of here, brother?
Well, Lord, you've given us a huge responsibility as parents, grandparents. Lord, you've also promised us that you would provide us the strength and the wisdom and the light, Lord, ahead. Father, we pray that for that strength and that light and that wisdom for each one of us. Lord, sometimes those days are dark. Sometimes when my oldest son Jonathan broke out the yard light in front of our house, I drove in the yard driveway. I remember being angry in the car. Lord, that's not that light. Look back, that light's not important. The time one of our boys used a BB gun and shot out the vinyl siding in the side of our house. Thank you, Lord. Give us all the days ahead, Lord, to enjoy our kids, our grandkids, and just see you through them. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Would you show your appreciation with them coming in? Thanks, folks. Appreciate you. Yeah. And you are dismissed. Thanks, guys, gals. It's good. Take care, brother.